Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American States on Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people and to share information to restore our country. Today's Tuesday, May 7th, 2013. And this is Sally Baptist speaking, and thank you for tuning in. Tonight we have our weekly special on American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. And as you have if you've been listening the past few weeks, you know they have an awful lot of information on what the transformation that our country is going through, how we really have to take a close look and see. We've got to get back to the Constitution. We've got to get back to the purest rights, our liberties and our freedoms, everything that this country stood for. And we've got to understand how it's changing, why it's changing, and that is what the show is all about. Karen and John, they are devoted to the truth, education, conversation, and action regarding UN Agenda 21, also known as Sustainable Development. This is something that started years ago, and we all need to understand what it really means and see how it's impacting us and what we have to do to stop it. And on that note, I'm going to hand the show over to Karen and John. So, Karen, please take over, and thank you, and have a good show.
Thank you, Sally, and it is always a pleasure to be part of your network. John, are you on the land, or are you on a rig tonight?
Well, I'm on land, Karen. 14 days.
I'm in. Okay. John is having some technical difficulty, and where he is, we're not getting a clear signal, so John will be back in a few minutes. As you know, for the most times, John works on an oil rig, and we get a lot of firsthand information about what is going on in the oil industry. And as John has told everyone, we are under what is called a permittatorium. And what does that mean? Well, that means that even though the federal government says we can drill, baby, drill, guess what? If they don't issue permits, nobody gets to do anything. So, John, are you back?
Well, I hope I am, Karen. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you great. So you are home, and what's going on in the energy community as we speak?
Well, Karen, you know, just like you just finished up saying, the permittatorium is still in full force, and this administration is still issuing about 50% less permits than any other administration in history. All the while, we continue to subsidize all of the green energy projects, and by the way, we just lost another one to bankruptcy, and I'm yet to dig into it. I'm trying to find out exactly what the cost is to the taxpayers for this auto company, but it's another auto company, electric cars, which the battery pack in this particular model would get you 88 miles, and then you would have to recharge, and guess what? The American public is not ready to be reached. They're, number one, where do you plug it in at when you get your 88 miles?
You have a long extension cord.
Well, and anywhere you're going to plug it in, Karen, and the bottom line for that is if you're going to plug it in and you're going to have an electrical source to recharge the batteries, guess what? Most of that is fueled by fossil fuels.
Isn't that amazing?
Coal-fired, natural gas-fired, utility companies. So, I mean, the whole thing is that we've got a government that is handpicking the winners and losers based on a green ecological lie. These vehicles, solar panels, and wind energy, if they can stand on their own two legs without government assistance, let's see it. That's what's called a free market economy, and that's where we have to go as a nation, and we have to turn back this agenda that's ridiculous. The timing of it is not right, and it cannot stand. And the taxpayers are being burdened by billions of dollars being wasted on these companies that cannot produce and make money. I mean, if they're not making money and it's not profitable, they end up going bankrupt on our dime.
That's right. And you know something, John? I was doing a presentation today with a wonderful group of people down in Boca, when I started going through the presentation and I got to the part about the awful, evil fossil fuels, the words that came up of the people that were promoting this were the Rockefellers, Maurice Strong, George Soros, Warren Buffett. Now stop and think, where have all of these people made their money? What are their businesses?
I can tell you, Maurice Strong he made every nickel that every dime he first made and became a billionaire was on the back of crude oil in Canada. I mean, he was CEO of Canadian Drilling. I mean, he was the guy. If you wanted oil in Canada, then you had to see Mr. Maurice Strong. And now for him to go. But, I mean, each one of these guys has got their own background agenda, you know. And one of the names that you didn't throw in there is Brother Al Gore. And if you look at the money that Al Gore's made pushing for a carbon tax, and, you know, hopefully our Senate and our Congress will be wise enough to turn this thing back one more time. But if we don't, then shame on us. But Brother Al Gore, who's already made $200 million, and that's what he's made just on the green energy lie, he would stand to become a billionaire overnight if they ever passed any kind of carbon tax need for American people, because he, guess what Al did? He purchased up, and I don't know what a carbon tax credit looks like, and I can't see one, and I can't touch one. But I understand how they will implement it in the breaking of the economy is what it'll take place. The American workers will be punished for every little gas engine, if it's a lawnmower, if it's a weed eater, if you have a vehicle, a car, how do you heat and cool your home, all of those things. Then you will be, your house, you as a person, will have to relinquish that information to the government on everything that you own that burns and uses energy. And then you will receive for four people, they'll say, well, okay, here are the tax credits that you'll be eligible for carbon taxes. And if you have exceeded that by having an extra lawnmower, so you're going to need to purchase 500 carbon tax credits. And guess who you'll have to purchase them from? Brother Al Gore.
Isn't that nice? He is just taking care of us. So, folks, what we should have the takeaway from this conversation is that the people who stand to make the most money are the ones that are trying to eliminate competition. How do they do that? By telling us it's bad, so we don't use it, or so that we won't buy it, or that investing in companies that produce oil would be something we wouldn't do. Why? Because they don't want the competition. This is all about money. It has nothing to do, as John said, about keeping anybody warm, keeping gas in anybody's car, or doing anything that will help and assist the American people. This is totally designed to take our money and put it in their pocket because they feel that they should have it and we shouldn't. And that's really what all of these programs are all about. Because if you follow the money, you follow the money trail, you'll wind up, guess where? In somebody's pocket. And then you find out, my goodness, that pocket leads to that business that promoted that product. What a surprise.
Yep.
And as
Karen, the whole thing that they're operating under, and that's what the American public needs to, our listeners really need to be keen on sharing with their neighbors and sharing with anyone that will listen. They are operating and spreading fear, global warming, fear. And in fact, I guess we just in Louisiana, and I'm 22 miles from the Gulf Coast, and we just experienced the coldest May day in the history, recorded history. So now, in the global warming fear, don't tell me that when I'm freezing in May.
Yes, I saw an article that someone had taken, and it was a picture of a snowfall. And I think it was Idaho or North Dakota, one of the northern states. And the caption said, May, you know, this is a May snowfall, Al. What have you got to say? It was really very clever. But this is, folks, this is what we have to look forward to. So we're going to talk heavy about the weather. But we have to talk also about, John, I want to talk about our participation, because you and I and wonderful people like Sally and all of the other people that get on the air and spend their time going on the radio and talking to people, if we don't do actions as a result of those conversations, it doesn't make any difference, folks. And right now we have a Congress in D.C. that is beyond disgraceful. And today, the Senate passed an internet tax. We have a shot to get to our legislators, our congressmen, and tell them our feelings about this internet tax, and it better not see the light of day. Because, as we all know, every time communists use the word fairness in something, it means unfair for the masses. And that's what this internet tax will do. This internet tax will take small businesses, and they will wind up having no business. Because in addition to this misrepresentation of taxation and taxation without representation, if I have a business in Florida, my business is in Florida, and I sell to John in Louisiana, and I have no presence in Louisiana, and I pay my taxes to the state of Florida, why on earth would I want to collect taxes and then pay them to Louisiana, when Louisiana had nothing to do with this transaction? I'd have no problem if I had an office in Louisiana and was participating in the Louisiana economy, but I'm not. I'm participating in the Florida economy. How many times do I get taxed for the same items? And that's
when you think about how many of us now, you know, the internet is a wonderful thing. It's a powerful economic engine that has had huge success. You know, I don't know how many items I buy from Amazon, eBay, and every transaction that I make, I get to see where the product is made, and I try to shop and buy products that are American made, so that I'm supporting the American economy. But if I'm buying from a person in Florida, why would I want that person to have to struggle? And think about what those people will do. What will Amazon do if it's got to collect taxes from every person that buys from them across the entire United States? They're going to have to track every where you're sitting at your computer. That's the only thing that these folks are looking at. I'm sitting at a computer in Louisiana, and I'm hitting a buy now button, and I pay for it. The transaction is handled out of my bank. But now Amazon will be accountable to the federal government to collect my local state tax. It's ridiculous. And I don't know how they'll be able to accomplish it. I mean, the tracking of it is going to create a nightmare to where I think a lot of these folks will just throw their hands up and walk away.
Well, that's what they're hoping, because it will be impossible for small business to conduct small business. I had a manufacturing business at one time. We were manufacturing ladies' handbags and accessories. If I had put those on the website and I had made those a product to be sold on the open market, in my small business, I would be winding up spending more time on the trying to track who has the I'd be spending more time to see who is tracking and where I had to send money to. The bookkeeping of those transactions are unbelievable to a small business.
Yeah.
How on earth are you going to be? I mean, we used to work 24/7. We used to do everything, and we were always available. Now think about that, okay? That's what a small business is. You don't shut it off at the end of the night. At the end of the night, you have to go through the stock and see what you have and see what has to be ordered and set up for the next day and make sure that everybody's happy and make sure that all of the salaries and everything else is paid. And now all of a sudden, you have to go through every single receipt and you have to find out where each one of those places are located, and then send them money. The bookkeeping involved in that will be unbearable. Unbearable.
Yeah, I guess I go right away, Karen. When we have a nation that this year our government is going to receive from the American taxpayers on the federal level $2.7 trillion. $2.7 trillion now, without any additional taxes. And then think of this tax burden that not only does it place on the individual, but how much more money do they require? You know, when you've got Barack Obama's budget that says he needs $3.7 trillion to run the country for 1 year, I don't know when the American people are going to wake up. But if we don't wake up, we're all going to find ourselves broke, bankrupt. Just because the federal government has decided to not have any control over their spending habits, and that's what this is. This entire downfall in our economy right now is because of a bloated federal government that will not stop spending. The simplicity of stopping spending, when you look at all of the things that they waste our money on, green energy, billions of dollars. And as an energy person, I find it ludicrous that when, as an industry, my industry could hire and employ millions of Americans in the next couple of years, because I do believe in American exceptionalism. I will not buy into the fear peddling or the lie about my industry. My industry begs and hopes to have an independent energy supply for every American, that we don't have to go outside of this nation. Our dollars don't have to leave America. They stay in our country to build the infrastructure that we require. When we look and we drive down the roads, the bridges, and all of the things that we see that are being neglected and not taken care of, but yet they're taking in $2.7 trillion and are asking us to do more and to give more. And here's another tax, because guess what? They see it as an easy way to punish the American people, but it's not the American citizen. I'll still be able to click the buy it now button, but the poor guy at the other end of the line that's sending my product now, he's going to have to track every individual he does business with and tax at an appropriate rate. Can you imagine the night? I guess it'll be a nice boon for software companies to reinvent everything that you buy now. I mean, I can't imagine what it'll be a nightmare.
Oh, my God, yes. The software that's going to be involved in that, the machinery, the new people that are going to have to be hired. You see, folks, what are we building? Are we building a new business, or are we building a bigger government to manage this regulation that is part of this business? And that's what we're building. What is our economy building? Our economy is building government jobs to manage the regulations that government is creating. If we didn't have the regulations, we wouldn't need the managers. And if we needed the regulations, it was very interesting. I was listening, I don't know, one of the talk shows before, and Kirsten Powers made a very interesting comment, and she was talking about regulations, and she was talking about how important it is that, you know, wasn't it important? They were talking about the light bulb, and they were talking about all of the different products that are now regulated in our home: the light bulb, the toilet, the shower head, the meter, the smart meter, all of the things that we now are having regulated. And she, as a liberal, turned around and said, well, don't you need the government to regulate water and to take care of the clarity of the water and the purity of the water and to make sure that there's no lead in our paint and things like that? Isn't that important? And the answer is no. Why do we need government to do that? We do not. And it is not that we need federal government. It is that we need state government. We don't need the federal government to tell us what kind of light bulb to put in our homes. We certainly don't need a program in a school to tell our children what sexual orientation they should have. We don't need programs that regulate every aspect of our thinking every minute from the time we get up until the time we go to bed. And yet, that's what we have signed on to. And it's our fault and our doing for not being vocal and not taking back the control that we have so freely given away by allowing these people to go to Washington and make up these rules and regulations that they have never read and have put upon us because some business is going to make money. That's really what this is. A business wants to make money. They go to a legislator. They say, here, regulate, put in a new regulation so we can close off the competition, and I'll donate back some money to you. And then the legislator says, okay, let's have an internet tax, or let's put a change the light bulbs, or let's put a black box in an automobile.
And Karen, I guess I would be, you know, here's the thing. When we look at all the agencies that have been created to ensure our protection and our security, and then we look at the overwhelming cost and the failure of them, you know, there's so much fallacy in everything that they bring about through these green agendas. Agenda 21, you know, is absolutely designed to destroy the free market capitalism of America. And you know, we thrive and are the most productive people on the planet Earth. We've done more with our natural resources when we were in charge and in control. But now when we see when this shift took place in the 90s, and we look around us now and we see all of the things that government agencies that are hindering, in my industry, you know, green energy is number one is not reliable. Having a car that will only go 88 miles and then you've got to charge it is not reliable. We have beautiful interstates, and they're, some of them are getting pretty well worn down, and we need to boost our infrastructure. But the bottom line is we've got these interstate highways to where, you know, you can jump on them and you can go a couple hundred miles in a day without even breaking a sweat, but not in a green energy vehicle. But, so green energy is not reliable, and it can't compete on its own. That's why we're subsidizing and losing the taxpayer billion. And it's really rendered our industry totally ineffective. You know, I mean, My industry has done more and built more plants overseas now because they're willing to accept the pollution. They're willing to accept, you know, that they don't have the standards that the EPA forces on a refinery here, so let's build one in South America. And they have to because they've got people that, you know, are relying on them to make profit. You know, the stockholders demand that ExxonMobil makes tons of profit. Well, they can't turn a profit here in the U.S. because we've got agencies that are hindering their business. So if we don't, as taxpayers, if we don't as Americans recognize that a free market economy must be restored, and we have to shut down all of these agencies that regulate every aspect of human life are all about lies, and they're based on the lie that, you know, that we're killing the planet. That the planet is more important than human life. Well, folks, I disagree with that wholeheartedly, but I do it out of common sense and logic. And where is that in our government? I really am astounded at with the so-called political right in Washington. Sometimes when I listen to those guys and how they justify all of their legislative tools and the mechanisms to fund these agencies, even the guys that are on the far, what we would call conservative side, have got it wrong. Let's use simple logic. If a solar panel can't be made and produced and sold and turn a profit for the person that buys it, make money for the person that buys it, save you money, without the state and local and federal government having to give the citizens 60 to 80% of their dollars back, well, then let's get out of that business. Just logic. If it won't turn a profit, get out of it. If windmills.
Oh, God.
That's,
I was looking at these snowstorms, John. You look at these snowstorms that we're having in May, and you look at this cold weather, and I was just talking to some people up north, and it's going down into the upper 40s tonight, and it's May, folks. This is May. Now, think about how, let's say we have a blizzard in the middle of May. How do the windmills work? What do the snow panels, what do the solar panels do when they're under a foot of snow? How are they going to work?
Well, ask the people in Norway, Karen, that froze to death last winter.
That's right.
Because they had a little community in Norway that took it upon itself to make its entire city reliant on wind energy and wind power. And guess what? When it got so cold that the turbines froze, guess what happened to the citizens? They froze to death in their homes. And how much did our media cover that?
No. Folks, please pay attention to the weather. Please pay attention to being prepared. But also, please pay attention and start calling your elected officials. The only way that they can win is if we're silent. And we can't be the silent majority anymore, because when we come out of this, after 2014, which is really what this is all about, folks, this is about can conservatives get the Senate and keep the House in 2014 and look at your states, because your states are going to have the same issues. But if we don't tell these people what we want them to do, then they're not going to do it. And they're not going to work with us. And they're not going to do things for the people, because they've got people with very deep pockets standing above them, telling them what to do. And the only thing that we have is our vote, which we're not paying attention to because we're not being vocal enough about that vote. Every person that calls one of the legislative offices is counted like you're 100 people.
Yes.
Our silence is staggering.
Uh-huh.
When I call up there and, why are you doing this? And how could you vote for that? And, oh, Karen, oh, we didn't hear from anybody else today. Well, what good is that if I'm the only person? We can't be the ones that are continually complaining without doing. A complaint is only good if it turns into an action. And you can't complain about the things that you absolutely can't fix, like the weather.
Yeah.
But if you have it in your power to fix it and you don't, shame on us. And unfortunately, that's where we are in our society today. We are very busy waiting for others. How many letters do we get, John? And they're wonderful, and I really appreciate them, where people say, thank you for doing what you're doing. And that's fabulous. But my question back is, and what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
And we should be asking.
Yeah, because, Karen, there's not enough of us. I mean, and you know, I was listening the other night, and James Carville, and I guess he is Louisiana's and New Orleans' I guess leading socialist. At least that's my view and opinion of James, and when he talks politics and policy, he's definitely on the social justice side of things. And he actually made some really nice comments, and I guess it was Sean Hannity or maybe Bill. I don't even remember who was interviewing, but they were asking him about some left-leaning journalist, you know, Rachel Maddow, you know, in his opinion, would she be considered far left? And he says, well, I don't think so. He says, you know, he said, but when you guys on the right, he says, you've got all these people, you know, the Agenda 21 folks. And he made reference to you and I. And he was able to do that, and he did it so nonchalantly and just blew us by, you know, and And his effort was to minimalize us. Because guess what? The fact that James Carville, you know, and he's a leading pundit for the left side of socialism, and if this leading pundit recognizes Agenda 21, we are having an impact, and they want to minimalize us, and we can't allow that. We have to unify our voice. That's when people ask me about political parties. I don't want to be associated with that. What I want everyone to embrace is the same thing that I embrace. Is it American? I am an American. I have an American view. I share an American opinion. I believe in American exceptionalism. I know there's not a single issue or problem that as a united American people that we can't confront and turn back. We have never failed in history when we united to defeat any enemy. And it doesn't matter what you call the enemy. As a united people, our great strength is that we cannot be defeated, not by politicians, not by lobbyists, not by the United Nations. If we stand as Americans and say, this is enough, we're not going to fund any more of this green agenda, we're not going to support solar panels, we're not. If they can make it on their own, they make it in a free market economy. But I want my government to turn loose the energy sector that is working, that does provide me with gasoline for my car so that I can have cheap source of fuel. And that's what we have to demand. But we have to demand it as an American. I don't care what the people's political, I don't care about race, religion, if you can listen. And if you'll get into a room full of people, and I have done this on two occasions, and you ask folks to stand up if they are Hispanic American, okay? And you may have somebody present, and I always look to see, make sure I've got one or two. But then you say, okay, do we have any gay Americans? And they, you know, you might have some, and then you'll have anyone anti-gay. But you voice the divisions, and you see the divisions, and you let people see. Because people will jump up for the things that they support, and they won't jump up. But then when the one thing that, okay, now, in this room, how many of us are Americans? And everyone will stand with great pride and take great honor, and all the divisions are cast to the side, because then we're united. And that's what we have to do. That's the battle for 2014, is for Americans to unite. Tell them all, look, this guy, I don't care what his party affiliation is, he has my views. He shares a constitutional view. He shares a free market economy view, and I'm going to support him. I don't need the PACs or the lobbyists to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get my neighbors to do it. And you would get out and we'd take to the doors, you know, knock on a door and say, hey, have you heard of this guy? You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to become Americans.
That's absolutely right, and nothing is more important than doing that. And then you know what else we have to do, John? We have to do the really hard task, and that is we have to stop talking to each other and start reaching across the aisle and talking to others who may not be like-minded for everything, but who are like-minded when it comes to saving their country. Because the one statistic that never changes, no matter what show you put on, no matter who's doing polling, it always comes out 70 to 80% of the people are unhappy. 70 to 80% of the people are unhappy. That is a huge audience that we have to tap into, and we're not tapping into it. So the information that you get, and John is right, it's not the people who are important. I don't care what party anybody is from. What I care about is what their actions are and what they have done, because that's more important to me than who they are. This past couple of weeks, I spent a lot of time in Tallahassee. I worked with Democrats and I worked with Republicans. And I walked into their offices on purpose, not knowing what party they were in, because it didn't matter. It didn't make any difference. It doesn't make a difference anymore. There are communist, progressive, socialist, blah, 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 in both parties. There
yes.
are people who want to destroy America in both parties. There are treasonous people in both parties. So why do we have to choose a party when we have the ability to choose a person? And, you know, I was thinking about this one, too. I went to a meeting the other day, and the people were talking about starting a third party, and they asked me what I thought. And I said, I don't have a problem with starting a third party, but we also have to recognize that we will need a lot of money, and you have to be registered in every state in order for the party to count. So maybe we should take a look at some of the parties that are already there that are registered. And we came up with the Libertarian Party, and people started, I don't want to be associated with the Libertarians. They want to do this, and they want to do that. And you know what I said? Okay, let's stop for a minute, everybody. Let's decide who the enemy is. Who are we fighting? Are we fighting the Libertarians? Are we fighting the Tea Partiers? Are we fighting the 9-12ers? Who are we actually fighting? Because if we can't figure that out, then we certainly can't figure out a plan to win anything, because you don't know who the enemy is. So we need to isolate and decide who the enemy is. And once we do that...
And Karen, you know, there's so much power in what you're saying, because that happens in every state. You know, I mean, you're having that conversation with folks in Florida. I've shared the same conversation here in Louisiana and Oklahoma with people in Oklahoma. You know, we all know that the two-party system that we have now is broken. So, I mean, okay, yeah, it is right now a big topic of conversation amongst, I guess, patriots, Americans. You know, what do we do? Can we, you know, we can't trust either party. So we have to go and form a third party. Well, forming a third party is just not going to happen. You know, it's not. There's not
enough
time.
We don't have
enough
time. Yeah.
No.
We don't.
No.
We don't
and
have
we don't have
time.
The money.
Right, but that doesn't mean that you have to vote for a Democrat or Republican. You see, that's the interesting thing. Do we need to have a third party to vote for somebody who's NPA? No.
Nope.
Do we need to have a third party for somebody who runs as a Libertarian? No.
Nope, not at all.
What we do need to do is look at the people and identify who they are and what they stand for, and stop being deceived by fluff and money and a fancy talker and a guy who's slick and looks good, instead of one who makes sense and has a plan.
Yeah.
We have to look at our candidates differently. Hollywood should not be providing our candidates.
There you go. And that's a failure on each of our backs. We didn't get here by paying this much attention 20 years ago. 20 years ago, when we were just allowing it to go, and we weren't being vocal, and I promise you I wasn't. I was really glad just to have a job, go and do my job, come home, raise my children. And we all fell into that, and because, you know, they weren't impacting us. They weren't threatening our private property. They weren't threatening our jobs. You know, we didn't have as many unemployed people. We didn't have people that are totally reliant on the government, you know. And all of the things that have taken place in the last 20 years have certainly woken up a lot of Americans. A lot of Americans are standing up and saying, no more. I've had enough. I'm going to make change. I'm going to take action. But guess what? It's still just a handful of us. When you look at the grand scheme of things, we are still not united, and we have to find that united voice behind whatever the candidate is that you can support. Find that person. Look at Ted Cruz. You know, the Republican Party and the RNC did not want Ted Cruz to be the senator from Texas. And guess what?
Not
he's wreaking havoc on them in Washington. One solid, you know, Rand Paul, another perfect example, Tea Party candidate. And look at the impact that those men are having in the Senate. You know, when they take people to task, they take them to task on the constitutionality. They take them to task as an American. saying that is not a shared value of the American people. And, you know, they're there to represent their states, but they represent America in the finest fashion. But the problem is, you're talking about two men. We have to give them an army beside them.
Yes. And you know what? Let's now go back to another candidate, and I'm going to show you exactly the way the deception works. Take a look at Marco Rubio. First of all, let us all recognize that he was never the Tea Party candidate. That label was given to him by the New York Times, not by the Tea Partiers and not by the people in the state of Florida, because the people in the state of Florida knew who he was when he served in the legislature in Florida. And we know that he appointed communist Harvey Rubin to the Miami-Dade clerk of courts. I know he did not appoint him to that. He appointed him to an energy commission, and then he became Miami-Dade clerk of courts, but he supported him. Marco Rubio knew about the land grabs that were going on in the Everglades and did nothing and let these people, 400 of them, lose their homes on fictitious land grabs. And now today, Marco Rubio, who never really changed what he was all about, because he killed all of the immigration bills in Florida and then proceeded to bring up an immigration bill in the federal government to support illegal immigration. So Marco Rubio is a perfect example of what we have been led to believe and to be fooled by the media. Because the media labeled him who he is. We did not. He was, and here's another thing, folks, he was the lesser of two evils. What a mistake we made when we do that.
And how many times have we had to do that?
That's right. We have to stop doing that and get candidates to run. And if you are in the sound of our voice and you have a voice, please run for office. Run for office. Forget about the fact of winning or losing. Let's hold that aside for a minute. Running for office does not mean spending a fortune. Let's talk about a fast, simple, easy political campaign. Focus on issues, not on people, not on policy, not on ideology. Focus on real issues that are happening right now. Get a team together, a support team, and go through your precinct of where your voters are located. And take each precinct and take a precinct volunteer and start now, start today, and walk around with a petition. And don't put your name on anything. Don't attach your name. The first objective of the petition is to gather supporters, because when you walk around and you say, my name is John Estabrooks, and I'm here because there is a tremendous problem in our energy sector, and we are tired of the people in Washington wasting our money on solar companies that don't work. Would you be interested in signing that petition? Well, that's very, very non-committal, non-threatening. And it hits a sore point, so it shows the pain. You want to show the pain. Okay, while you're talking to that individual, ask them, can we have your name? Can we have your address? Would you mind giving us your phone number? Can we email you more information when this information comes out? Would you be interested in any other subjects? Because we're going through our state and we're analyzing some of the things that they have done, and we want the people in the state to know what they've done. Guess what you're building when you do that? You're building your database. You are building your database of potential voters. Then you walk around again with another petition. But you're reinforcing the relationship that you had with that individual, because every time you knock on the door and somebody says hello and you get to talk to them, you are improving the relationship you have with them. by the third time, take out a third petition, something entirely different. Now attach the name of the person who you want to run for office to that petition. They are used to seeing you. Hello, my name is Karen Schoen, and I'm working with John Estabrooks. And John feels that Common Core is a disaster for our state, and we should be getting rid of it because we have no idea what it's going to cost. Would you be willing to sign the petition with John and myself? Now you're using John's name. You want to use it at least three or four times, and you want that person to be comfortable hearing John's name. You continue that as you're walking around the neighborhood, and you continue to put John's name attached to the petition. Call your local radio show. Tell them that John has a petition going out, that John is a concerned citizen. Get his name in the paper. Now, how much money have I spent doing that? Very little.
Yeah.
Very little, but what have I created?
There's a lot of fan footsteps.
Created a trusting relationship with myself and my neighbor with a person who is a purveyor of the truth whose name will get recognized. Now when you go to your election, what do you think is going to happen? Well, I'm a low-information voter, so I know John, and he's walked around with a petition. So I'm going to call John, and I'm going to ask John, who does he think I should vote for?
It happens all the time.
All the time. Folks, this is what they do on the left. And this
we've got the perfect and prime example of that, because what you're talking about is community organizing. And if
exactly.
we think about who is Barack Obama? How did he ascend to so much power? Is because of what he did going door to door as a community organizer in Chicago and then branching out. And he
mm-hmm.
knew how to do it. He knew how to build the system. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, people, you know, because where did this guy come from? You know, and when you look at the American, on the national level, who was Barack Obama? And how did this man put together such an organization, such a machine, a Chicago machine? And he won the presidency, and he hadn't even served a full term as a senator? Good gosh, people. I mean, so number one, we know it works. We know community organizing, getting out in your community and voicing the name of a concerned citizen and having people relate that name of that concerned citizen with things that they embrace, because that's all Barack Obama did. He took the social justice issues in the poorest communities to where you and I would probably be fearful to walk, and he walked door to door, knocked on every apartment. And he got his faith out there, and he got his first little Chicago election under his belt. And yes, he did have assistance then, because people said, man, this guy knows what he's doing. He's built a strong machine. He's done it in his local precincts in Chicago. So he gets his first election in Chicago, and look what the man has done, because he knew all he did well on the national level was duplicate what he did in one or two precincts in Chicago. He knew exactly who to go to. Yeah. The sad thing of it is we all know now that we paid for it through Acorn, but, I mean, you know, that's exactly how he got it accomplished. So, yes, that's the tool. That's a mechanism to elect the people that we want, to elect concerned American citizens.
Absolutely. And then you take that person and you canvass the neighborhood. What is in your neighborhood? Where do people gather? Where do people meet? If you're running for office, you can go to any organization. You can go to any church. You can go to any group, and you can talk to them. And even if you don't get elected, what are you doing? You are telling the truth, and you are capturing 1, 2, 3 people in the audience. Maybe 4 people won't vote because now they're confused. And maybe 5 other people will say, wow, that person doesn't hate me. That person isn't a terrorist. Praying and pledging to the flag doesn't make them a fearmonger, and they're not a racist. and you're breaking down the walls. And that's what Obama has built up is what we have to break down. And the people are not going to come, the low-information voters are not going to come to our meetings. You can invite them to a million things. They will not come. They are afraid of you.
Yep.
They have been taught to be afraid. They have been taught that if they set foot in your presence, that they are putting their lives in jeopardy. How sad is that? But that's what they are taught. So they're not going to come to you with welcome arms. We have to go to them. And that's the only way that we have to start breaking down some of these lies and some of these walls and take back the country that most people have no idea they're about to lose.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
And you know, Karen, when we look at, because we've been given a clear understanding of what UN Agenda 21 is. And the fact that now people on the national media, the leftists are very well aware of what we're speaking about, the fact that we've pulled back just a couple of the shades. We've ripped off their little mask, you know, and it's just like the Wizard of Oz. We've pulled back the curtain on their lives. So now they're, you know, they're starting to do exactly what all Marxists and socialists have always done. They're going to change the name to make it something different to where Agenda 21 will appear to be no longer in their lexicon or in their voice, but they're going to have comprehensive planning. And they'll rename, and that's one of their tools, that's one of their mechanisms. So then we have to, when we go door to door and we work inside the precinct on the issues, take the issue of property rights. Take the issue of overregulation of what you can and you can't do inside your own home. You know, and in this small parish that I live in, you know, everything that I, when I look at property rights and just how they've been so far infringed upon, that I actually don't own my home. I'm allowed to use my home as long as I meet the planner's design for what they say my home must look like. And that is totally, totally against the principles of our founding fathers. Private property was yours to hold and do what you chose with as long as you did no harm to any other citizen. And that's always the basics. We have to go back to what natural law says. Do no harm. If it's mine and I possess it and I own it, how it looks, how it's designed is left up to me as an individual. What I purchase, what I go and I buy is left up to me as an individual, as long as I do no harm with what I purchase and what I buy. If I harm no other citizen, then it's fine for me to own a different type of light bulb than you. It's my choice. And that's the freedoms that we're losing. And if we know those freedoms, private property rights is a great one in a lot of communities, because when you look at you go to your city council meetings and you go to your county commissioners meetings and you listen to these guys, and everything that they're bringing forward touches every resident in your county, in your parish, in your city. And if it does that, then that's the issue you want to go with your petition. Go with something that actually is being taken from them and say, you know, I'm a concerned citizen and I'm standing up for your private property rights, and I have an issue with what the city council just proposed on sewage for the city. And, you know, what do you think about it? And ask, what is it that you feel about it? And what you're going to find out is a lot of times they're not even aware, but when they become aware, then they're just as concerned as you are.
Right.
And they just never have taken the action. But you're an action person because you're seeking office. Or you're an action person, you're working with someone that is seeking office. But the issues are so easy to go to a school board. Things that affect people's children. Because politicians for the last 50 years have promised to improve our education system. You know, every senator that I've ever, you know, listened to speak of when they're running for office, we're going to improve education. I'm going to be the education senator.
Let's, we have to take a brief break for a minute and just make an announcement. Folks, you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on American Statesman and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please visit our shows. Please share with others. And please join us and join our network. You're listening to Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks. And we're going to be talking about education next. But before we did that, John, I did want to tell everyone for one of the best websites that I have ever seen for the understanding of private property, please go to takingliberty.us. One word. Taking, T-A-K-I-N-G, Liberty, LIBERTY.US. It is so important that we understand our private property rights. It is so important that we understand that private property is not just real estate. It is you, your person, your family, your business, and your land, and what is above it and what is below it that belongs to you. And as we go forward with this administration, if we allow them to restrict us further and further and further by the end of this administration, it is highly unlikely that any future generation will ever be able to buy property again. So please go to that website and also go to agenda21today.com. Again, thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio on the American Statesman, and please visit redstateradio.com. Thank you. Thanks, John. I just wanted to make sure we got that in before we started the next topic, which is a big one, and that is education. And you're right, John. You are absolutely right. How many years and years and years have we been promised and promised and promised?
And Karen, and the promises are unfulfilled, and the statistics and the truth, the facts, say that our children are dumber now than what they were 50 years ago.
Yep. So. Yes. And folks, Common Core, which is the hot button, which everybody is talking about, which is so important. But you know what, John? If we got rid of Common Core, we'd still have the same problem.
Sure.
And the reason is that we're not paying attention to the one thing that's going to make a difference. And that is, what are the kids actually reading?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is paying attention to that. And we
a curriculum is the issue, and that's one of the things that Common Core, you know, is tends to take that right, because I know here in Louisiana that each parish was allowed a private citizen who could go and sit with the DESE board in the selection of curriculum for all Louisiana students. Well, that right's gone. There is no citizen committee for the selection of curriculum. So now we don't know what, you know, the board or the administrators that choose the curriculum are not, you know, they're not citizens inside my parish, inside my city. So, you know, what are they choosing for my child or my grandchildren to learn? What is it that, what history is being taught, you know?
Well,
and that's a big issue. They're doing away with the American history.
Yes. Agenda 21 in Chapter 25 calls for the federalization of education. And that's where this is coming from. Also, if you remember when Obama got elected, what did Michelle say? Oh, well, we may have to change history. How do you change history unless you lie about it? So that was a biggie. But what they are facing is a product that has been around for a very, very long time. This product is an educational program called Modern Education, handled and issued by John Dewey, who spent years and years and studied people like Gramsci and Bernays and Wilhelm Wundt, and believed in their philosophy of mind manipulation the elimination of individualism to be replaced with collectivism, or what they call groupthink, so that nobody is important as an individual. Everyone is just as good as they are collectively. And using the Skinner and Pavlovian model of stimulus response, I give you this and you do that, we do that, you do that, stimulus response, that's not educating, that's training. And here we are now in this Common Core where we are being told all of the other egregious things that are involved in it, but it is school to work. And school to work is not new either. School to work came out of Russia in the 50s. Eisenhower sent a commission to Russia to study the schools, and he came back with school to work. Now think about that. What's the one of the most expensive things that a business goes through? Research and development and training. Because initial training of workers, how many workers don't stay? How many workers take that information and go to another company? How many workers don't stick around? The expense of training is going to be shifted from the business to the school. So you and I, we the people, we the taxpayers, are going to be paying to train the workers to go to work in the factories and the schools.
Yep.
That's what Common Core is. School.
And I mean, all you've got to do, and I guess it's with politics and everything in our lives, when we looked at how corrupt things have come, you know, always follow the money. And when you look at who funded and who is backing and supporting Common Core, and you get the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, ExxonMobil is so bold that they run television ads supporting Common Core. And the Common Core standards, and that's what people have to get their head wrapped around. In Louisiana, it took place without a vote of any citizen in Louisiana. It was agreed upon by our governor and our Board of Secondary Education. So
you know,
they agreed
John,
to 2010.
Nobody in Florida and nobody in any of the other states voted on it either. The way this came into the schools was from a Race to the Top grant that was hidden in the stimulus bill. So while we were all being told, now what was going on when the stimulus bill was passing, some ridiculous nonsense with Lindsay Lohan, a diversion, don't pay attention, you don't have to read that bill, it's not important. Why do you need to know what's in it? Well, in it was the Race to the Top grant. And that grant, in the fine print of that grant, when it was accepted by a state, was the fact that they would institute Common Core.
Yep.
That went out in the beginning of June. Who was around in their legislature in the beginning of June? Nobody. The state had 2 months to accept or not accept. Well, if you remember...
Yeah, and you've got to understand, those governors, our governor... Because in my research here in Louisiana, our governor, in order to get federal dollars for education for the state of Louisiana, had to accept the Race to the Top grant. Or I forget the number of dollars that we would have been short in Louisiana was mind-boggling. I mean, so, you know, he signs the agreement, and with honorable intent, to get the federal grant monies and the dollars that Louisiana needed to operate its education system without even having any clue what the Common Core standards was all about. I guarantee you he had probably never even heard of Common Core, and I believe that with all my heart. I don't think the guy did it with any intent other than to get the federal dollars needed to fund education in 2010. And, you know, the 45 other states, I'm sure it's the same way. Hello? Hello?
Yep. I am not sure what happened to Karen. It looks like maybe her. Hey, look, she's calling back in. Let's technology, you gotta love it. Welcome back.
Thank you. Technology is only wonderful when it works. You see, well, that's a big problem. Imagine, I'm using a book. I was thinking about this too the other day. Common Core is going to make a requirement that only technology is going to be used. Well, that's an insane thing to begin with anyway, because, I mean, we really think that the third graders are going to take good care of iPads. Give me a break. That's not going to happen. But all of this technology, you know what it does to a person? Think about the feeling when you read a book and you got to the end of the chapter and you sat back and you analyzed what it was about. And then think of the feeling when you got to the end of the book and you closed it and you put it down and you completed your task and you had the satisfaction of knowing that you completed what you had set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
These children will never have those feelings anymore. They will never be self-fulfilled. They will never have the feeling of self-accomplishment, because when you're on a computer, one thing leads to the next, which leads to the next, which leads to the next, and mostly you shut it off because you've had enough, because you can't go to the next spot anymore. But you didn't shut it off because you felt good, because you completed your task. The kids don't complete anything. And then the other thing that they do is everything is done by the group. So we have a group of John and Sally and Karen, and if Karen finishes first, Karen has to sit around and wait for John, who's not done. And if Karen made mistakes, where John and Sally didn't like what Karen did, then we're going to throw the whole project in the garbage. But where is the satisfaction of the individual accomplishment? There isn't any. What happens when people have no satisfaction and no individual accomplishment? They become insecure. They become unsure of themselves. They become scared. And they become subservient because they're afraid to make decisions.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And that's what Common Core is going to do to our kids. So aside from the fact of what in the world are they reading, because as you just said, John, they're changing history. I found that out in the Florida Department of Education, and here's a challenge for all of our listeners. Call the Department of Education in your community and ask them, when you're in high school, when does American history start? Does it start at the beginning of the Revolution? No. When does it start? It starts in 1865. And when I called the Florida Department of Education, she told me that. And she said, well, you know, it starts in the Reconstruction. I said, no, you mean it starts in the Progressive Era. That's when it starts.
Absolutely.
It does not have anything to do with that. And then I said, okay, so if history starts at 1865, when do our children learn about the founding fathers and the founding documents? When do they learn about the makeup of our country, why it was done the way it was done, why we are a representative republic and not a straight democracy? When do the children learn our history? When do they learn the things that have made America great? And her answer to me was, oh, you don't have to worry, Michonne. We make sure that they get those founding documents in government class. John, we're paying $100,000 to a woman to be the head of the curriculum department of education in the state of Florida, and she does not know the difference between history and government.
Absolutely. And Karen, I mean, that's what you find out when you start, you know, in communication with the people that represent me on the Board of Education and I'm astounded at how little they knew about Common Core, but then I'm also astounded about how little they knew about what they're teaching in their curriculum. And these are the people that are putting their stamp, their seal of approval on it, because it's got to go through them to reach it into my, to our schoolrooms and our classrooms. And they weren't even aware. You know, I had to pull up the curriculum and pulled up the curriculum from, and it took about 3 months to go through it. And to realize that in Louisiana and in my parish right now, that a child, once they get out of the eighth grade, they're no longer going to hear anything about the Founding Fathers. When they reach into the high school age, they are not given any information about the Founding Fathers. They're not given any information about the Constitution. So, I mean, if with intent to erase our history, our true history, you know, how will a child, when you hear every politician, everyone in media refer to our government as a democracy, how will a child know, no, sir, this is not a democracy, you have misspoken. The fact is that we are a republic, and we're guaranteed a republican form of government. How will a child know that if they, the last thing they heard of anything to do with the Founding Fathers was in the eighth grade? And think about it, you know, a young child at that age. There, what is government impact? How is government impacting them? It's not. You know, when government starts to impact them, when things will really start to take place for them is when they're high school age. You know, when they're starting to look at what their future might bring and what might their future be. But by then, under Common Core, once they reach the eighth grade level, they will have already been assessed by the standards set forth in Common Core and pushed into the training that they would be, you know, that they're capable of. They will already made that determination by then. And when they get to the ninth grade, they're going to start pursuing the training that is needed for the global economy in their local area. If the state of Louisiana is petrochemical, they'll be pushed into the petrochemical industry. And shame on us for allowing it to happen, because I still think that, you know, I want my grandchildren to have a choice in who they become. I want it to be their choice, not the government's choice, not some industry's choice. I don't want Bill Gates to decide that my granddaughter's going to be a software writer. That's not up to Mr. Gates.
Well, I got an email.
But that's what we're confronted with.
I got an email answer to our newsletter. And folks, go online, go to agenda21today.com, sign up for our newsletter, and get firsthand information. I got an email response from our newsletter from a woman in Czechoslovakia. And she said, when I was describing exactly what you said, John, that the industries are going to rule the cities and the schools, and we are going to be nothing other than worker bees paying for everything. And she said, what you are saying is so true. Please don't let it happen in America. When I was in the fifth grade, I was told I had an aptitude for math and science, and I was to become an engineer. I did not want to become an engineer. I wanted to be a doctor. They would not let me be a doctor because they said my aptitude was better for engineering. And so today, I am an engineer, and I hate my job.
Wow.
That came from Czechoslovakia.
How powerful is that? But here's the sad thing, Karen. 45 states have already said yes to this.
Yes.
You know, right now the big battle is in every state, all 45 states. Better wake up, and you better, I mean, educate your legislators, because guess what? They didn't. That gets an easy out for those guys, because when I contacted my representative, I had nothing to do with that at all. I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't have anything through the House. We didn't pass anything like that.
It magically appeared, and the allocation of money is something they forgot about, because that's the other side of this. This program has come through, and you're absolutely right. They never looked at it because it wasn't even written. So they signed on to something that was written by European communists and Muslim Brotherhood, because the Muslim the Muslims now own a portion of the textbook companies, and that's another story which I'll tell you in a minute. But the Muslims own a percentage of our textbook companies. So we have our textbook company controlled by Muslims and socialists, telling about how wonderful America is. How is that going to work? And this was never shown. No one ever looked at it because it wasn't written in. And in Florida, the standards are equal to, if not worse than, the standards already in Florida. So why are we going to spend several billion dollars, because nobody can give me the price of what it's going to be, so I would imagine billions is the right word. Why are we going to spend several billion dollars bringing in something that's inferior to or equal to what we already have? Does that make sense at all? And then we go back to Agenda 21. It's not supposed to make sense. It's just supposed to cost money, because every time it costs money, we have the reallocation and redistribution of wealth, and somebody is sticking their hand in our pocket to take our money. And what are they doing
with
it?
And Karen, what we have to, you have to make sure we define that. That is American money. This United Nations Agenda 21 and everything that it touches is about redistributing American wealth, collapsing the U.S. dollar. And we're seeing it, we're watching it, we're living it, and we're allowing it.
Yes, and that's the part that we have to stop doing. And you have it right now, everyone. You have it in your control to do something about it. And what can we do on this one? Start working on your school boards. Start working on your superintendents. And don't please go into their offices and tell them that Common Core is communist, because they're not going to listen to you. They've already been told. This was cute, John. I went to one of the senator's offices, and he said, I started talking about the atrocities of Common Core, and he said, well, Karen, you know, the Board of Education, the Department of Education was here already, and they already told us how wonderful it is. And I said, let me ask you a question. Who are they paid by?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I paid by? Nobody. Who are they paid by? The same people who wrote the program, the same people who stand to make a lot of money, the same people who want to destroy America. And what are they going to tell you? It's wonderful. It's great. Folks, when are we going to stop doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results? When are we going to stop believing in people that tell us they want to kill us? When are we going to stop believing in people who say, in order to save the planet, I must destroy capitalism? And then we are surprised when they destroy it. We have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be to end, like one woman said, Karen, I guess we have to take off our PC belt, because instead of being a PC belt, it was really a suicide belt. So that's a real good description.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true.
Take off the suicide belt, and we are no longer interested in being purveyors of more lies. And Common Core is communism, written by communists and Muslim Brotherhood to destroy America, period. And what you have to do when you are confronting these people is get the books, get the actual books, get the words in the actual books. We found in one book, in one textbook, one of the counties in Florida, and the, by the way, the Muslim errors in the textbook can be found on the ACT, ACT for America website, and also on Citizens for National Security, SNFS.us. You can go to those sites. You can pull down the textbooks, see if those books are in your city, state, anywhere. And if they are, you can see the underlined errors Everything is done for you. All you have to do is see if you have the books. Well, we discovered these books in Florida, and we discovered that in the New World History book, 36 pages are devoted to how wonderful Muslim Islam is. Three paragraphs talk about Christianity. Two paragraphs talk about Judaism. Folks, that's not a book that should be in our schools, because there's nothing wrong with talking about religion. There's nothing wrong with equating religion to history. But when you have a lopsided lie being perpetuated and you know it and do nothing, shame on us.
Absolutely.
And this is a lie.
Yeah. And it's a lie, Karen, and the design of the lie is with such great intent, because the one thing that our founders were to a man in 100% agreement, and there wasn't a lot of things that when they were writing the documents that they all agreed on, but when they all agreed that we had to have some form of public education, to a man, 100% agreement, and then the design of what that public education had to bring to the American children, and for them to say that first we must teach religion, second we must teach morality, and third, we must concentrate on the sciences. And why was religion so important? Because this nation and everything in our founding documents was based on religion, based on, you know, the natural law of a creator that give us our rights and not government. Our rights are not derived from government. Our rights are derived from our creator. And if I take out Christianity, and I take out and I wipe out religion from education, then I'm accomplishing the socialist design that they've been seeking for 100 years. So, I mean, it that sounds like a natural, a well-designed curriculum if you hope to destroy America and the education of the system for American children. Well, then, yeah, you have to take religion out of their conversation altogether.
That's right. So now we're showing you the egregious material that is behind Common Core. And we are also saying, this is not new, folks. This has been around for a long time. I have a book in my car, which I will bring the next time, that someone gave me. And it was done in 1994. And the bottom of the book says, A Child's Guide to Agenda 21.
Wow.
So here we have been told that this does not exist, and yet
yeah.
A child's
Barbara.
Guide is being used in our schools. And the thing that this woman showed me that stuck out in my head was, it says, it was little highlights of little Agenda 21 items. And it said, Agenda 21 item, in order to increase revenue, it would be a good thing to decrease the military. What are we doing today?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, John. I was thinking about this. This book was from 1994. Where are the graduates of these schools? They're sitting in Washington.
Mm.
And they are destroying our military. And they were taught to do this when they were 7 and 8. And that perpetuated until they got in office. And it carried through. And that's the power of propaganda.
Well, how political has the military become, old Karen, also? Because, you know, these guys that are lifelong military men and defenders of America are now confronted daily with the wills and the whims of the administration and politics, you know, and they have to bend over backwards just to be able to keep a military base open, you know, and they have to conform to the designs of this president and this administration and this Congress, this Senate, and, you know, they're at the mercy of politicians with no tool or no mechanism to stand up and fight back against it, because they can't speak out. You know, they don't have the they're not allowed to. You know, they can't say, hey, look, you guys have allowed a communist in the White House.
That's right.
You know, yeah.
You've allowed a communist in the White House, and he's ordered DHS to buy up all the bullets so the military doesn't even have, aside from the fact that they don't want the people to have bullets. I mean, that's a
well, and that's the bottom
but
line. I mean, he doesn't need Congress
away the
to do
bullets
that.
Bullets from the military.
Yeah, well, I mean, and here, Karen, I mean, if you have the agenda that he has when it comes to our Second Amendment freedom, and we, you know, we all very keenly aware now, if you try to purchase a weapon, a semi-automatic weapon, or to purchase any type of ammo is just about non-existent. So he didn't need Congress to pass a bill. He just needed to, you know, expand and purchase and make it so, you know, when the government's buying more ammo than what these people can make or manufacture, something's wrong. Something is seriously wrong, and we better wake up.
Yes, we have a very, very, very big problem. And we now have several problems stemming from that one problem, which is our Congress allows these agencies to come in front of them and to lie. Now,
absolutely.
If you were a ball player taking steroids and you lied, you'd be in jail. But if you're a head of an agency and you come before Congress and lie, they say, oh, how nice. You didn't mean that. You misspoke.
Yeah.
Folks,
do you think, Karen, and I'm looking at the Obama administration, and I look at, and I just focus on the people that I, you know, Ken Salazar, Lisa Jackson, Kathleen Sebelius. When you look at all of these people that are leaving, but go back and as when they were heads of their agencies, and go and find out how many of them were in contempt of court. They had either lied or just told the court, we could care less about the law. We are the head of the agency, and we're going to do it anyway. So they were found to be in contempt and never held accountable, and guess what? Oh, she's no longer here. She no longer represents the EPA.
Right.
So as they're confronted with jail time and confronted with having to go answer to the justice system, which is a really far
joke.
It's a joke. But I mean, there's deadlines in these courts that these justices say, I want to see her. Oh, she's no longer in charge of the agency. She's stepped down. So guess what? Charges are dropped.
That's right. And we're facing a big thing with that, with the biggest topic that we have. So before we get into that one, let's just say that we are all listening to American Freedom Watch Radio on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and Red State Radio, redstatetalkradio.com. Please join us. Visit our website, agenda21today.com, and get our newsletter and get involved. John, I was saving the big topic for last, but I think we need to talk about Benghazi because we need people to act. And we need people to act, and we need people to call, and we need people to call Washington, my least favorite place. Wouldn't call there, wouldn't ask. But this is beyond important. Four Americans were killed at the behest of this administration. Imagine Hillary Clinton running for office, knowing that on her watch, four Americans were killed on purpose. This administration has to be accountable for Benghazi. And for those of you who do not remember Watergate, Watergate was a heavy-duty scandal, but nobody died. We have an administration that is running guns. That's what this was all about. They are heavily involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood is in our military, in our agencies, in our schools, all over, whitewashing, telling how to conduct a war, what our soldiers can say and what not they cannot say, what will be offensive to the Muslim nation. Do you honestly think that if they offended us, that that would be acceptable? It would have to be acceptable. No, it should not be. And this, what is going on now with Benghazi, is, to me, treason. It is treason, and we need to let our legislators know that we are not going to stand for another investigation like Fast and Furious, where all the proof was presented and it fizzled and burned for some unknown reason because, question mark? Who was told not to do something, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
But we cannot
allow this to happen. That's the bottom line, though, Karen. You and I represent, and we hope to bring to our listeners, the truth. And we always, logic in the truth will never fail you. Fast and Furious was a gun-running scheme that was proven. An American lost his life at the hands of a weapon that was sold by a government agency. Truth, facts. And no one has been held accountable for those actions. And you know, that to me is a shame. But Benghazi goes far and beyond that. Because when you have American citizens that are under attack, and this is an ambassador, you know, and to have this man and our embassy under attack, and to have our Defense Department know that they're under attack, have visual proof. This is, you know, they're under siege. And to have planes and men ready to go and rescue them and not be allowed to, that's un-American. That's not what an American does. You know, when I think of the streets of Boston, And when 9/11, when we watched firefighters and policemen and everyone rush into those buildings and put themselves in peril, in Boston, bombs go off, and people didn't run from the scene, they ran to the victims. And now in Benghazi, where these four Americans were murdered at the hands of Muslim terrorists, and to have the ability and equipment there, the men begging to be turned loose, let us go assist fellow Americans, and to have someone in Washington, D.C. sit on their hands or go back to sleep and not, you know, allow those men to carry out a mission that's what they're there for. That's what they begged to go do, and they weren't allowed to go rescue these people. Shame on us if we allow it to go with unpunished. Someone has to be punished.
And it goes all the way up to the top, folks.
For political.
This administration is so involved with the Muslims, they can't see straight. They're so excited at bending over. Although I believe.
Well, you got a president, you know, and I go back to the root, to his reelection. And to me, Karen, there's the root. His election campaign. And he's going around and he's telling all of the nation how secure he's kept us from terrorist attacks. And all the while, he knows that a terrorist attack within hours, from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m., by 6 p.m., it was diagnosed to be a terrorist attack. They had that information in their hand. It wasn't about a video, well, that's a lie. And they perpetrated our president for his own political gain, perpetrated a lie on the American people for his campaign because he wanted to be able to go and tell American citizens, I've kept you from secure. Terrorism is not on the rise. BS, guy. We just lost four people on your watch that you allowed to be murdered. And that's why he cannot run from that. Neither can Hillary Clinton.
No, and we can't let them. Folks, this man has done everything possible to make sure that America is not safe, not secure, is on the losing end of every negotiation, is giving away our natural resources, giving away our wealth, giving away our land, giving away our country, and is falling apart. And this man had it in his power to turn that ship around and make America one of the most wonderful countries in the world. And what did he do? He did not do that. He did absolutely the opposite. He did it backwards, upside down, the opposite. He gave our resources to China. He's giving our money to the United Nations and the Middle East. He's supplying weapons to our enemies. How much more are we supposed to stand before we do this? We can't. We have to hold him accountable. If we do not, this is really what the root of the problem is, John, I think. By allowing the liberal and the progressive to take over education, people no longer feel responsibility and consequences.
Yeah.
And they feel that they can act without responsibility and consequences. And if we allow that to happen and continue, we might as well be back in the Wild West, because there will be no rules and regulations, or there will be such tight rules and regulations that it is impossible to do anything, because the rules and regulations guide us totally. We will totally be subservient, and just like Obama just said when he was talking, did you hear that speech where he was talking to one of the universities and he told them, don't worry about tyranny, it's not something that you should be concerned with?
From the tyrant himself.
From the tyrant. Who else but the tyrant would say that?
Yeah, don't call me tyrant.
Right. Don't call me a dictator just because I act like one.
Yeah.
You know, don't call me these names just because I'm behaving like that. Folks, accountability has been lost in our country. And when you lose God, and you lose morality, just like John said, you lose accountability. You lose your inner ability to regulate yourself, and you become out of control. And that's what is going on, because people growing up, what was the one thing that your parents always did? They set boundaries for you. And sure, you leaned on those boundaries and you tried to expand those boundaries, but that was how you learned. And that was the learning experience. But when you did something, like when Mom said, don't touch that because it's hot, and you touched it anyway, you had a consequence because you got a blister on your finger. If you did not have that consequence, how many people would stick their hands in boiling water? If they didn't feel the pain, how many people would stick their fingers in a light socket? If you don't understand the consequences, you don't have the ability to make the right decisions. And we've taken away
consequences. When we look at this, this administration, Karen, and we look at the actions from all the way from the top, and now, you know, in Fast and Furious was the time to rein it in and to stop it, and to hold people accountable, and we failed. You know, when you've got an attorney general that redacted so much of the information that he passed on, and it was a battle, you know, that you're having to wage battle against the Department of Interior for a moratorium in our industry that was said no. Everyone that was in from the inside of the industry, every professional said, no, there's no need for that. It's not just to, you know, to put a moratorium on. It's actually going to create more hazards and more risk. Don't do it. And yet they chose to do it anyway against the advice of the very professionals that they hired. And no one was held accountable for that injustice. When a judge in Louisiana says you're in contempt of court, Ken Salazar, you're in contempt of court, Lisa Jackson and the EPA found in contempt of court on 7 different occasions, but no accountability. None of them were punished. So, you know, we've got people that are totally out of control and not being reined in. You know, tomorrow, I guess, when Mr. Issa, maybe this will be it. Maybe this is Benghazi will be the head of it, and we'll finally get some action and some accountability.
And tomorrow, folks, is a very important day, because I'm going to tell you, talk about politics and religion. Watch C-SPAN tomorrow. Watch these hearings, because it is equally as important for you to see the hearing as it is unimportant for you to read somebody else's interpretation of the hearing.
Sure.
The media is going to spin it, and you want to see the truth. So the hearings are going to be on C-SPAN tomorrow, and it is our job, it is our duty as protectors of our country to be the Americans who say, how can we take our country back, and to be those Americans who watch this hearing and respond and react. And if we don't like what a senator said or did, a representative said or did, it is our duty to call them and tell them. And if they did a good job and asked the right questions, it is our job to call them and tell them. Because if you had watched the hearings before, and if you watched some of the hearings that, like John was saying, on the EPA, the hard questions were never asked. If you don't ask the questions, you're not going to get the answers.
You've got men now, and here's the thing, Karen. You've gotten men that have had great pressure at them from this administration not to give testimony. And why was that? What is the truth that they hold, and now they're being labeled whistleblowers? Well, no. They're men of honesty and integrity who are going to share with the American people the truth, and it's up to us to watch and listen to the truth. Because that's what this is. This is going to be a great opportunity to finally find out, you know, what they knew, when they knew it. And these four men, I don't know, I admire anyone that's going to stand up to this administration, because, boy, it puts you in great peril.
It sure does. However, these three brave people, they are brave. But that should give us the ability to be brave, too. They can't do it alone, and they should not.
No.
We should be there. We should be supportive. And we should make sure that this investigation does not follow the same route as Fast and Furious. That this investigation has a beginning and has an end, and that end has consequences. Because the death of Americans, whether it's 1 or 50, is equal in my eyes. The death of an American doing a job to protect our country is the most important job. How can we expect young men and young women to go out on the front line if they know that if they're in trouble, their country will not protect them? What an awful feeling to know that you're out there protecting and that you're all alone. That's not America. That's not the American way, and that's not what we do.
Well, and to have a commander-in-chief roll over and go back to bed? Good God.
That in itself should speak volumes as to what this person is all about. I just got an email, John, with some good news, and I do want to share that with everyone. And that is, this is the last topic that I wanted to talk about, and that is our voting system. Because we can do everything right, get the right candidate in office, get the right people, get all the votes. And if the voting machines are fraudulent, it won't make any difference.
No.
And everyone in every state needs to look at your voting rules, because the majority of them all say that voting should not be done in secret. And when you put your ballot in a machine and the machine counts it, that's being done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Because the machines are being programmed to come out. Oh, an outcome-based voting system. They know the outcome in advance. So it does not matter what you put on the paper, because that reader is not reading your information. And what we have found out is that when they calculate the votes and they get the tape from the reader, they never collate it. So they don't know paper ballots against votes if they were correct. So we had a win today in Florida, which was fantastic. True the Vote wins in settlement with St. Lucie County of the Florida Election Supervisor. St. Lucie County, if you remember back to the election, St. Lucie County had 141% of the votes, and Alan West lost. And that is the sad story as to why Alan West lost. Alan West did not lose on a fair election. Alan West lost because of fraudulent votes. So in Houston today, May 7th, 2013, True the Vote, the nation's leading voter rights organization, announced its settlement with St. Lucie County Supervisor of Elections regarding the records inspection rights under federal law and the Florida Constitution. The agreement provides True the Vote access to all ballots, registrations, and other election-related data necessary to conduct an audit of the federal election of Florida's 18th congressional district. The audit is unprecedented and will not be led by government entities or by political parties, but by concerned citizens. Folks, we did it.
Yep.
This is what working together means. This is a huge victory. Huge victory.
Yep. And you know, Karen, I don't know how many times I've been told by some fellow Tea Party folks and some patriot groups, when I tell them there's an injustice, whether you like it or not, you have to go into the courts. We have to get these battles into these courtrooms. And yes, it's going to be an expense to the citizens, but ultimately the citizens will win if you've got a justice system that will function. And that's what you're reading. You're reading a case where right now the people have won, the citizen.
Yes. And this is a huge victory, because this is the case that other cases can use.
Absolutely.
In any state. And I'm so proud of everyone for forcing this issue, for recognizing this issue, but this should certainly be a red flag for all of us as we go into the next election cycle. And we should make a concerted effort to get rid of every voting machine that is around, that is being used, which means all of them, and we should be going back to paper ballots where concerned citizens count the ballots. This is not a government job and should not be promoted or run by any political party.
There you go.
And when we have elections that are contested like this and bitterly fought, and you know there's fraud, my gosh, 141% of the vote, and we had two precincts that they didn't even look at where Obama got 99% of the vote.
Well, they had one county, and they had an entire county in Ohio, Karen, where he got 100% of the votes cast. And it has never happened in the history of a presidential election anywhere. You know, I mean,
that it never happens again.
Well, let's hope not.
Well, we do have good news. And that is in South Carolina. And South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford won the special election for the U.S. House seat in South Carolina, beating Democrat Elizabeth Colbert Bush, according to the Associated Press. So that election was just called. And that means that another House member will have a somewhat conservative vote, but at least it won't be a liberal progressive vote. So we have a chance. We're picking up more and more people. But folks, let's go back to what we did again today. The most important thing that we can do is cross the aisle and talk to our neighbors.
Yep.
And run for office. Because if we don't take back, you can't take back your country by sitting in front of your television set or your computer sending emails. You can disseminate conversation. You can send out talking points. But you're not taking anything back if we don't get off our butts and go and talk to our neighbors and talk to our friends and talk to the people who are in our communities and be the purveyors of the truth. There isn't any other way to get around it. There isn't any other way to accomplish it. It's an age-old job, and it's always done the same way. It doesn't change year after year. If you don't get on your walking shoes and go and talk to the people, you're not going to get their votes because somebody with the money is going to come in and capture it. And the only way to combat money is with a personal relationship.
Absolutely. Action is required. I mean, that's the solution. Every American has to unite and take some action. And let me tell you something. That person that signs your petition, that's action. When they put their signature and they give you the information, you have gotten that person away from their television, away from the media, away from their computer, and you have gotten their attention. And if they take the time and they agree with what you're asking them to sign and they take action, then you might be the very one that will save your town, save your city, save your county just by getting people to start taking the action. And then go back and tell that citizen, share with that citizen the results of everything that you do, because that's what's required. Action, stay truthful, stay honest, stay American. And never, never give up. I mean, that's the one thing that's not in the American vocabulary. We will not give up. I won't give in to tyranny of any kind against any citizen. And we all have to unite behind that. And until we turn this around, and it's not going to be easy because it took 100 years to get us here. And we have to be willing and committed to take 100 years if necessary to restore it. And what a restoration, and what will that look like for our grandbabies? And that's why I do it.
I don't know if I lost. I don't know what happened, and I'm not hearing anyone. Oh, there
well,
we go.
I can hear you. You're back.
I'm back. Ooh, somebody's listening. Ooh. They didn't like what I was going to say, which is just as John said, in our vocabulary it says, never give up. Never give up. Listen, remember those women that were stuck in captivity for 10 years.
Wow.
They never gave up.
No,
what
a great
story that is.
Yeah.
Never give up. This is America. We have too much at stake. America is too big to fail. And if you're the only one that thinks that way, it's already failed. So we have to get out there, got to get on our walking shoes, got to get on our whatever it is, get out there and meet the folks. Get in, mingle. I'm making it a rule, and let's see if everyone can follow. I am going to be talking to at least 5 new people a week. I'm going to give 5 new people a brochure, 5 new people a flyer. I'm going to talk to 5 new people about Common Core, about immigration, about anything. It doesn't matter. I'm going to talk to 5 new people a week. You know why, John? Because if I talk to 5 people, chances are they're going to turn around and talk to 5 people.
Yeah.
And think of what we could start if we did that.
Every revolution is only led by 5% of the population, Karen.
Did
you know that?
That is a fact. And so thank you for sharing your time with us this evening. We appreciate it. We'd love to hear from you. Send us your information. Send us anything. Get online. Get involved. Go to our website, agenda21today.com. Sign up. Get our newsletter. Listen to redstatetalkradio.com, and there are some wonderful people on that network. It would be a good thing to listen to all of them. Thank you, John, for a great show, and we'll be
always
back
a pleasure,
again.
Dear.
We will be back again next week, and we're going to have some of your friends from Louisiana.
Yes, ma'am. Two special ladies that are the People LLC, two women taking on Baton Rouge.
Oh, love it, love it, love it. And for all you good folks in Florida, I have bad news. I have to add a little bad news with some of the good news. The Common Core bill that we thought we defeated one, but somebody slid it into Bill 1076, line 220, says that they are replacing the words of Sunshine Standards with the words of Common Core. So we have our work cut out for us to this summer season to get with our legislators and to get that bill repealed. And that's it for tonight. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll be back again next week. Thank you, John. Good night.
Thank you, dear. All right, good night.